Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Last night we discussed Give, Send, Go, which is the alternative, one of the alternatives to the GoFundMe. Now, for listeners...
Isn't it GoFraudMe?
Right. GoFundMe people, they had raised $10 million through GoFundMe. GoFundMe froze the account. It was 10 million Canadian, by the way. They froze the account, and then GoFundMe ultimately decided they were going to cancel the entire thing, although they had given out $1 or $1.5 million already to the fundraisers organizers. Mm-hmm. But then we found out the TD Bank froze that $1.5 million.
Wait, really?
When it hit the bank account.
Wow.
Now, supposedly they jumped through, they hired a lawyer, they got their attorneys to talk to TD Bank, they got them to release the funds.
This is like a perfect example of why we need cryptocurrencies.
Yes.
Absolutely.
By the way, the crypto fundraiser hit 21 million. Or sorry, 21 bitcoins, not quite 21 million.
That's still a lot
of Bitcoin
money.
Yeah. So they hit their goal.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling a lot of people don't understand the importance of cryptocurrencies. And, you know, if there was ever, there probably have been other examples like the WikiLeaks case.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is how the governments react. And this is why you need cryptocurrency. Even if this isn't your particular issue, even if you don't care about, you know, the truck drivers or, you know, the mandates or any of this right now, what happens when they do something that you do care about? Like they start taking your kids.
Facebook may well be simply a renamed DARPA project.
So I can't remember the details, but I think Facebook and Google are both, if I recall correctly, started out with funding from the government. I don't know which agency it was, but there was an agency that provided them seed funding. So it's not beyond belief.
Yeah. And, you know, it's an easy dodge. Oh, the government isn't allowed to give up your personal information. Great. Let it form a private corporation, nurture it along, and let that private corporation then be perfectly willing to give up so-called private corporation, be perfectly willing to give up your private information.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure we've brought in stories covering, I think it was it Switzerland, a company that basically... They designed like encryption equipment, like sending like, I don't know if it was encrypted fax or certainly encrypted phone communication. But it was aimed at, governments, right? So, you know, when the UK wants to talk to France, well, they go to this company, supposedly an independent company, but really it was backed by like the CIA or something like that.
So they're listening in.
Yeah. So what you think is encrypted private communication between France, you know, and the UK is actually being intercepted by the US government because it's.
Well, and of course, the CIA was just in the news as well. I don't know if you guys have seen these headlines all over the place that now the CIA has been revealed to have been, guess what, spying on Americans without a warrant.
I've never had to call you and complain about a cryptocurrency. None of the coins, none of the thousands of coins that exist until now. And I have a serious complaint about Voyager token. Are you familiar with this?
No, but there are a ton of scams out there. So what's this one?
Yeah, this one is a little bit more established and it's been around a while. But it, first of all, they're being sued for, alleged hidden fees. Mm. I don't know that much about that. But the problem I had with them was they took their coin one day and they just said, well, you can't use this coin anymore. You've got 1 month to sort of switch over to this other coin we're going to have. And then after that, the coins you hold will be useless. Well, not everybody checks, you know, constantly their coins, right? And an investment is supposed to be something that you just let it sit there, right?
Right.
You might want to check on it, but you shouldn't have to watch it like a babysitter. And so, yeah, one day I log in and all of my Voyager tokens were useless.
Wow. And so they literally only gave people a month to make the changeover. A lot of times when these things happen in the crypto world, and they do happen, this isn't unheard of, they'll you know, upgrade the system or whatever, and then everybody's got to move their coins. They will be the path to upgrade will always be open, right? Like, so that way if you come 6 months later or a year later or 2 years later, there's still a path to do. You're saying they completely closed down the option to switch it over,
essentially?
Well, a lot of things go up in value at first because they're being pumped up on purpose by their advocates We've seen this happen time and time again. Like we just talked about the quote unquote Ethereum Max token just a couple of, you know, a week ago, which was they had hired Kim Kardashian and some other influencers to pump their token back in May of last year. And then what do you know? It crashed immediately after that was done. So whoever it was that was the founder of the token probably sold at the top of the pump. And a bunch of other people got left holding the bag, and now there's a lawsuit about that. Again, you have to ask the question: what is the purpose of the token that you're looking at, or the cryptocurrency that you're looking at? Just because, you know, price go up doesn't mean that it has any kind of fundamentals that are going to continue its growth on into the future. So just because somebody recommends something online, you know, is not a reason to buy it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And even things that do have a good use case, I mean, it happens with all kinds of businesses, not just crypto businesses, where, you know, something has a good business plan, good management, good execution, and then somebody else buys them out, and the next thing you
know, in the toilet.
They go to hell.
You know, it's hard to know in advance what's going to work out and what's not, because you don't know what the market's ultimately going to do. But there are some things that clearly have no purpose to exist beyond the whole pump and dump thing.
When you say
they're looking good and then they blow up the space station and they're trapped on the other side of the galaxy and they've got to get home and it's going to take them 70 years.
When you say good opportunities, you're talking about for the founders of these, you know, tokens and cryptos and things, right? Not the end users, not the people who are investing in them, correct?
Well, no, I meant the investors. I mean, there are some opportunities out there. Whether they'll pan out or not is, you know, a whole other question. But again, if you don't know what you're getting into, and that's not to say you have to know programming, like you don't have to audit the code necessarily, but you should at least read a little bit about the thing and get a grasp for what it's trying to do and for if it fills some sort of a market need, because the market can be kind of irrational in a lot of ways.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, like, can it ever?
Like the three of us, we value the idea of privacy, so I think it's fair to say that we like privacy coins, right? We like Monero, instance, or Pirate Coin, or whatever the other, you know, those are probably two of the better ones.
I like privacy coins. There's always one big question mark in my brain about privacy coins, which is, if you can't look at the blockchain and see what's happening, how do you know that transfers have really been made?
If and when, rather, I think we should say when, New Hampshire secedes, you have to remember, ideally, the correct monetary policy is to have no monetary policy, to allow the market to decide what is money. So whether that be cryptocurrency, whether that be gold backs, or whether that be the dollar, I think what you're going to see, at least immediately right after, you know, independence, is most people are going to continue using the dollar just because that's what they're used to doing.
Yeah.
There's no reason, like you said, other countries use the dollar. El Salvador, for instance, uses the dollar.
It's funny because even countries that are hostile to the United States, like North Korea, they use the dollar.
Sure.
So, yeah. I mean, it's,
I don't think you're going to see the dollar going away unless it finally hits hyperinflation.
Yeah.
Then you might see people saying, well, I mean, don't want these anymore.
Yeah. There's definitely some effort by a handful of countries to like move away from the dollar, but anywhere near enough to make a difference.
Yeah. And
so
of course, go ahead.
So you're saying you wouldn't think the free market of New Hampshire being its own country, if all of New Hampshire's at that point didn't use it, it wouldn't devalue it enough, you don't think?
It wouldn't be noticeable is what it would be. I mean, it might devalue it, but not noticeably.
To answer the question as far as like the value of the dollar, it's the printing of more dollars and what people believe about them that, you know, is the two of the major factors in what their value is. While we believe that there are better options out there, whether it be using the gold back, which also has been in the news recently, by the way, InfoWars, Epoch Times, and others have done feature pieces now on the gold back, which is amazing.
Nice.
So they've been getting a ton of coverage. Or whether it be cryptocurrency, in New Hampshire, we do have the benefit of actually being able to use these things.
We do.
You guys just came from a restaurant tonight that accepts both of those alternatives, right?
Yep. And I didn't pay with gold backs, but I did pay with crypto. So.
Very nice. Well, you're allowed to do that. I can't pay with crypto. There,
I know. I know. It's a good thing that they take gold back.
I can pay with gold back.
What would you do, right? Yeah. Like, what would you do?
It hurts me to pay with dollars.
Right?
That's like, to me, that's haram. It is against God.
This is why, this is why I'm always talking about, you know, when I don't say cash. I say dirty fiat when I'm talking about the dollar, you know, or any kind of, you know,
the devil's lettuce.
The devil's lettuce.
Yeah, that's good.
It's bad stuff. I mean, it's blood money, right?
It is.
The dollar is blood money.
Absolutely.
It's based on violence. It's based on threats. It's based on illusions and lies. And, you know, good people should use these alternatives. So the good news is, in New Hampshire, there are actually multiple businesses that take the gold back. If some sort of other thing came up where they needed to study cryptocurrency in some specific instance, they would have already had the committee formed, basically, and they would have said, okay, well, send this over to the committee to study cryptocurrency and see what they say about it. But that didn't really happen. Like, they made the initial decision
There is one useful thing they could do, which is study how to protect crypto traders from the federal government.
That'd be nice.
That would be a beautiful thing.
Well, I suspect some of us are going to be attending these upcoming meetings, and we will maybe have a thing or two to say about it.
I mean, I don't know. Is this supposed to be like an opportunity to propose legislation or something? Like, I'm not quite sure I understand what
it's
the point of the committee is.
It's a study committee. They just study things and they talk about them. And maybe they'll make recommendations. I mean, maybe they won't. Who knows?
But when you propose a bill, they already have multiple hearings on the bill before it passes anyway to provide, you know, testimony and everything else if you want to.
Well, why don't you get into the story and we'll see what it says.
The commission will have until August 8th to submit a report regarding the current status of the cryptocurrency and digital asset industry.
Okay.
Kristen, you know,
that's a thing.
Okay, I guess.
Make a report, committee. What's the status of things?
I don't know. Chris Sununu, who served as the governor of New Hampshire since 2017, has established a commission aimed at investigating the technology and laws around digital assets.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
There is a woman that called in a week ago. Talking about she got vaccinated and didn't decide to get boosted and didn't decide to vaccinate her six-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say to that woman that there are other people like that, like everywhere. Everywhere you go, there will be people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. Kids are at zero risk from COVID.
Second thing I want to say is nobody or Mr. Nobody, your name is awesome.
Thank you.
You are awesome.
We agree, by the way. I love Nobody. He is awesome. I'm so glad that he's back here on Free Talk Live. He's smiling, by the way. He's got a big smile on his face.
Big dumb grin.
And you'd moved. I remember your call a couple of weeks ago, Sam. You'd moved up here during 2020. Were you paying attention? I mean, you're really young. I think you're just 10 years old or something right now. But you seem like way more with it than a lot of kids, even in their teenage years. Were you paying attention at all to the election in 2020 when Nobody ran for governor up here?
No.
The market is doing what investors want, not necessarily what is valuable to consumers. I think when you see consumers using cryptocurrencies, they're not using what the market wants anyway. So I don't know.
Henry Ford said if he'd asked consumers what they wanted, they would have said they wanted a faster horse.
That's true. Yeah, the people don't know what they want until you show it to them. Right?
Exactly.
You know, the other thing I want to point out about the maximalists is the what it seems to me to be some pretty serious hypocrisy. On one hand, they say they value decentralization, right? Like, how can you be in favor of Bitcoin and not be in favor of the idea of decentralization, right? It's part and parcel of that.
Yeah.
But they want to only have one currency. And it's like, hello, what about decentralizing the currencies and having a bunch of options in the marketplace and competition? What's wrong with that?
It's funny because it's because of what they did that it actually demonstrates why we need competition in the marketplace.
You mean what they didn't do?
They didn't do that, that demonstrates why the sources were released in the first place. And, you know, I cannot imagine that Satoshi, okay, would have argued against the forking of Bitcoin at the end of the day.
Because why it's open source.
Right. That's why he released the code. It's the whole reason he released the code is to ensure that no matter what the people who were in control of Bitcoin did, if they didn't do what should be done and needs to be done,
somebody else
could.
Chris, you were sharing a story with us about the New Hampshire governor calling for a commission to study cryptocurrency. I think they're calling it the Commission on Cryptocurrencies and Digital Assets. And this sounds familiar to me because I think all of us have gone to the previous committee that was studying cryptocurrency.
I definitely did. I went to more than one, I believe.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I don't know if you did, nobody, but
I haven't been to any of those.
I'm surprised that we didn't drag you along for those.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked too.
But maybe those were the years you weren't living in Keene.
Maybe you just don't remember.
Maybe I don't.
you sometimes forget about some of this stuff that we do. I mean, there's so much activism you're involved in.
It's true.
We have done many an appearance at the state house, so it wouldn't surprise me if at all.
Actually surprised when I bring something up that you don't remember, Ian, piece of activism. I'm like, yeah, you were there. I know for sure.
So but, they're doing it again.
Yeah.
They're doing more studies, apparently, about cryptocurrency. And that's one of the things that's happening, by the way, this year is there's a particular free stater who's a state representative, Keith Ammon. He was a good guy, great state representative, cares about liberty, and he's really into cryptocurrency, and he's sponsored a few bills this year that are going to try to make New Hampshire as free as Wyoming as far as being a good place for businesses to come to who are crypto businesses and make it welcoming to them.
Yeah,
basically.
I'm still not sure I fully wrap my head around what Wyoming did that made it freer than New Hampshire.
What happened previously in New Hampshire was there was this piece of legislation that got passed that inadvertently started to regulate crypto a little bit in New Hampshire, and then we undid that. So the original commission to study cryptocurrency said, oh, we shouldn't have done this. And they recommended to the state house that we undo it. And so the state house undid that. And so basically there's not any kind of regulatory controls on cryptocurrency here, as I understand it.
Right.
So you would think, oh, great, that's the way it should be.
Right. So then what's the problem? Like, what do we need more
legislation? What he explains is whether we like it or not as libertarians, corporations want to have some sort of a structure that they can go and do a thing in, right?
Yeah.
So like the special depository institution is like a special carve out in the banking system that allows a cryptocurrency company to create their own bank, basically. That's my understanding of it. I'm sure it's more complex than that.
One of the fears I have, though, is that if you do this, does that mean anybody who doesn't follow, you know, operate within that structure, are they now committing a crime?
I don't know. I haven't read the legislation.
Yeah,
so I
mean, this is something I'm not sure if this is something I want to support.
I mean, create a bank, you're going to get targeted, right? Like if you open up Chris's Chris's bank and you've got a vault in your house and you call it a bank, they're going to come after you, right? There's banking regulations that already prohibit that.
I don't think they're calling it a bank in Wyoming. They're calling it a depository or something like that.
The problem is if there's a closed set of things that certain types of company can do.
Yeah.
Then you need legislation to open that set of things, to add another thing to that set. And I think that's the situation that we've got now.
Yeah, I'm looking over the bill in question regarding these special depository institutions, special purpose depository institutions. And basically, they do banking kind of things without being called a bank. They can be applied.
I mean, wouldn't that be a money transmitter, though?
I'm sure they'll be considered a money transmitter, but that's a whole separate question. They can do banking-related things except for lending. They can't have natural persons as their customers. Only corporations can be their customers, apparently.
Hmm.
And they can apply to the Federal Reserve to be a member bank, so that that would give them the ability to receive wire transfers and send wire transfers and things like that. But there was a story from the senator of Wyoming, or one of the senators from Wyoming, Cynthia Lummis, who is kind of like the crypto senator, basically, in the U.S. government. She wrote an article about how the Federal Reserve is refusing to process the applications.
I saw this.
By Kraken, and there's another one. There's another crypto company, Avanti, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, I recall the companies.
But these two that have created the special purpose depository institutions in Wyoming are trying to get their Federal Reserve numbers or whatever so they can, you know, send wire transfers and all that.
Aren't you on like welfare, like social housing or something like
she's
that?
Working. She moved out of the welfare house.
Oh, she did.
She did. Used to live in a welfare house, but she doesn't know.
Okay, well that's a step up then.
Yeah.
Well, I get SSI, so I get about $800 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a disability. I have bipolar, but so I cannot make money, but Richard could make money. I just help him out.
Your claim that you cannot make money, Sarah. It seems to me like you're trying pretty hard here to, you know, earn a little bit of income to bring in some bacon.
Yeah,
I
mean, I want to say something about people with bipolar for just a moment. I've had employees that were bipolar, and I will say that.
And you fired them all.
I didn't fire them. I didn't actually. They left on their own, but. Okay. I will say that I don't think it's impossible for somebody with bipolar to make money.
Yeah.
The problem is that they can be unreliable, I think is the best way to phrase it. Because if you're going from having one mood to another mood, you might not show up for work. And that's something that's usually desirable in an employee. But that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody with bipolar can't make money. It just means they can't as easily work for maybe another
person,
individual, or another company. Mm-hmm. They may need to go into work for themselves.
Well, the commission just makes recommendations. It doesn't vote on, whether the bill should move forward or whatever. But they say they basically will tell the other committees, okay, here's what we think.
Yep.
And then they take that under advisement and make their decision based on that. One of my favorite moments, I think, from the original commission on studying cryptocurrency was when there was like one of the banking bureaucrats was sitting there testifying. I think it was the head of the commission asked the question of, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to the effect of, well, have there been any complaints? Because they were talking about like all the bad things that could happen.
Right?
Oh, these bad things with cryptocurrency. We need to regulate and blah, blah, blah. Because, of course, the regulators want to regulate, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy said, well, have there been any complaints about cryptocurrency? And she had to answer, there had not been a single complaint in however many years.
Right, because her job, like their job is to take complaints from
about
the public.
About banks and stuff.
Right, about banks and stuff.
And investments or whatever.
Right, and there was not a single complaint.
Nope.
And here she was testifying against
the
bill.
And that one question just like completely took all the wind out of their sails, and you could tell it was over.
It really did.
With that one question.
Yeah.
So. And and the guy that asked that question isn't a Free Stater. Did you guys hear this New York City mayor, the new guy, the guy that just took office in January, talk about how he loves cryptocurrency?
I did. There's been a bunch of them. I think one is in Florida, too.
Uh-huh, yeah. And, Miami. Yeah.
Yeah, and there might be another one somewhere out there,
there's
too.
There's a few of them.
There's definitely like three or four of them.
So this guy made some headlines while he was running for mayor. So he's brand new, just came in January, and he made headlines because he claims he's into Bitcoin. He wants to get paid in Bitcoin. I guess he said he was getting his first few paychecks. He would get them in Bitcoin or something like that. And he made a statement about how he wants New York City to be the best Bitcoin city, to be the most attractive to Bitcoin businesses and
rid of the Bit license.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there is that. And unfortunately, that's at the state level, so he can't get rid of it.
Right.
But yeah, that's a major factor in that's going to keep businesses out of New York City. But here's another one. New York City Mayor Eric Adams, according to the New York Post, wants to make the Big Apple a center of cryptocurrency trading, but he now says he's siding with environmentalists who oppose the energy-intensive process of mining the digital currencies. Wow. Quote, I support cryptocurrency. not crypto mining, he said.
I don't think this guy understands what cryptocurrency is.
No.
Although there are definitely cryptocurrencies that don't use the same kind
this
of mining
true.
And are not as energy intensive.
This is true.
Things like
proof of
Stellar.
Stake. Yeah. Yeah. Eric Adams just took office in January, and while he was campaigning, he pledged to accept his first three paychecks in Bitcoin and Ethereum. However,
how is he going to do that? Does he have the authority once elected to just like issue whatever he wants?
Excellent question.
Because
couldn't issue it, the city would have to buy it from somewhere,
right? And then
unless they confiscated some or something from
maybe.
A drug dealer or whatever.
Sounds like a fraudulent promise that he probably doesn't have the power to actually do once he gets elected.
Yeah, I don't know how that's panned out, right? Because presumably he's gotten a paycheck by now. I've not been paying close attention to what's been going on with
him.
If
he can eventually get a paycheck in, you know, crypto, which maybe he can, it's going to take some amount of time probably to make that happen.
Maybe. I mean, let's presume he got it. Whatever. Okay, so he got his paycheck, and he said he was willing to take his first three paychecks. That's not a real big commitment.
No, it's not. That was the other thing I thought was pretty funny.
Like, why would you just take three if you really are into cryptocurrency and you can get the city to actually pay you in it? Why wouldn't you want every single paycheck to be in Bitcoin?
It's a publicity stunt is all it is.
That's what it was, because then he changed his tune after what happened? Environmentalists criticized him for not taking a more forceful stand against the mining process, which green activists say will expedite the negative effects of climate change due to the sheer amount of energy required to create the digital coins. You know, people pay attention to, you don't. Chris, obviously, pay attention to the Super Bowl. I don't really pay attention. I don't even know who's playing, but I know the event exists, and I know about when it happens. It's usually like the first couple weeks of February, the last week in January, usually somewhere in that range. So I'm guessing it's coming up Sunday, but I don't know 100%. But one of the things that people actually pay a lot of attention to during the Super Bowl isn't so much the game itself, but the advertisements that happened during the Super Bowl. And the reason is because, well, they're some of the better ones that are produced, because there's a ton of people watching the Super Bowl. It's one of the most watched events.
Is this the one where they spend like millions of dollars on
per
ads,
second
like
or whatever?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is the one.
I've heard of this.
Yeah. Because you're hitting a huge audience of people. This is like the most watched television event of the year. Probably of the planet, but certainly inside the United States. It's very, very highly watched. And so it is the most expensive advertising you can buy on television. And now apparently cryptocurrency companies like Crypto.com and a couple of exchanges, FTX and Coinbase, are booking commercial time during the most watched media event of the year. This according to Protocol.com. Oh, and here's who's playing. The Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals will be playing at SoFi Stadium, which is another player in crypto buying, and the point-of-sale systems at the venue are run by Square.
Today, I'm using my authority as Premier of Ontario to declare a state of emergency in our province. And I will convene Cabinet to use legal authorities to urgently enact orders that will make crystal clear it is illegal and punishable to block and impede the movement of goods, people, and services along critical infrastructure. This will include protecting international border crossings, 400 series highways, airports, ports, bridges, and railways.
Just curious, does Canada not have disorderly conduct statutes?
I'm pretty sure that even if they don't have disorderly conduct statutes, they have a law that would like,
I think they
make
just
it,
call it mischief.
Make it illegal to interfere with like the regular course of traffic, right? Like you can't just stop your car on the major highway, even in Canada.
Right. I mean, that's the definition of disorderly conduct. So like why They don't. Why does he need a state of emergency to do these things? I mean, these are things that have been prohibited in Western systems forever.
It's probably because he's trying to ramp up the power. You know, he wants more power.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
That's probably what it comes down to. I mean, it's probably not, and he probably in kind of effectively doesn't have that power because it will look bad if he does do something.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.